Let loose in a record shop, how many of your favorite LPs could you grab in just 1 minute? 50? 60? Well, start practicing, because now's your chance to beat the clock at Golden Discs. With every purchase you make at any Golden Discs branch in Dublin, you get an entry ticket to beat the clock at Golden Discs. And as a winner, you can keep all the LPs you can choose and hold for 1 minute at Golden Discs, Grafton Street. So get into any Golden Discs branch in Dublin for your chance to beat the clock and pick up an LP collection of a lifetime.
Beat the clock. We've got bargains to stretch the imagination at the Great Mirror Mirror Summer Sale. Stretchers in all departments with sizzling trench coats by Michael Mortel down to £89. Mirror. And big baggy blousons wear $44.99, now $29.95. Suede mini dresses, trousers and jackets from $39.99. Dresses by Chris, Paul Polly and Betty Jackson. At all branches from Thursday, June 23rd, 10 a.m. The Great Summer Sale at Mirror Mirror. Worth looking into.
Egan's of Brave, a special low-finance deal at 12.25% in a range of the new and quality used cars. Egan's of Brave Low Finance now offers you the opportunity to get your car at very reasonable prices. So check out Egan's of Brave soon, because this offer must end by July 1st. Special Sunday opening from 1 to 5 p.m. from 8 to 8 Travel Show.
Check out Marley's Nightclub in the new look Marley Park Hotel, Grange Road, Rathbarnham. Marley's Nightclub is open Thursday to Sunday.
Check it out. And now open Wednesdays too.
It's Lions Tea Time. Broadcasting to Dublin on 828 kHz AM and 88 FM in stereo.
Radio Nova.
It's 7 o'clock. I'm Sybil Fennell. Good evening. The American Space Shuttle Challenger ended a week-long mission this afternoon when it returned safely to Earth in California. The flight had been a confirmed success. Tony Allen has the details.
Challenger touched down at the Edwards Air Force Base in California just seconds before 3 o'clock this afternoon. On board were a crew of five, amongst them America's first woman astronaut, Dr. Sally Ride, who's 32. Shortly before noon, the landing had been switched by NASA officials from Cape Canaveral in Florida to the desert site in California because of poor weather conditions. But thousands of people had already gathered in Florida to await the shuttle's return. They were forced to watch the landing on television. This, the seventh shuttle mission, has been the most successful to date. Two satellites were launched, one for Indonesia, the other for Canada. The shuttle took off from Cape Canaveral last Saturday. Tony Allen, Independent Radio News, Dublin.
The Labour leader, Mr. Spring, has called for the introduction of a law which would provide for divorce. He said the Labour Party would recommend that the present constitutional ban on divorce be removed. The Israeli Prime Minister, Mr. Menachem Begin, has appealed to doctors on hunger strike to end their strike for tomorrow's Sabbath. But the doctors say they plan to ignore this plea unless their demands for a pay rise of up to 100% are met. At least 20 hospitals have been closed to all but emergency patients since the strike began 11 days ago. At some hospitals, army doctors have taken over. More than 2,000 doctors are involved in the fast. It's now being predicted that the doctors will, in fact, soon accept a 50% pay rise. In England, three people were killed and more than 20 others were injured in a motorway accident this afternoon. Harry Keane has the details.
The accident happened on the M5 motorway outside Birmingham shortly before 3 o'clock this afternoon. A coach on a regular run between Birmingham and Worcester overturned and rolled down an embankment. Several passengers were trapped inside. A number of other vehicles were involved in the crash. Police have now confirmed that three people were killed and 21 others were injured, some of them seriously. All of the casualties were in the coach. The southbound carriageway of the motorway remains closed to traffic this evening. The cause of the crash is not yet known. Harry Keane for Independent Radio News, Dublin.
Three people from Strabane have been in court in Derry today, charged with a series of terrorist offences. A married couple, Patrick and Anne McLaughlin, both of whom are in their 20s, are accused of the murder of the part-time UDR man Thomas Cunningham in the town last year. They're also charged with attempted murder and causing explosions. Another woman, Margaret Hannigan, pleaded guilty to withholding information. All three have been remanded in custody. In western India, more than 300 people are dead or missing after a series of floods. The death toll is expected to rise. Many houses collapsed, and in one incident, a bus carrying more than 20 passengers was swept away by the floodwaters. Train services have been halted, and army helicopters are bringing food supplies to the worst affected areas. You're listening to Independent Radio News. It's 3 minutes past seven. The former president of Cuba, Senor Osvaldo de Costerado, is reported to have committed suicide in Havana. He's said to have shot himself after a lengthy bout of illness and depression. He was 64 and became president shortly after the Cuban Revolution in 1959. He was replaced by Dr. Fidel Castro in 1976. In the Dáil this afternoon, the Minister for Transport emphasized that the government was ready to take whatever action was necessary to maintain air services if the air traffic controllers continued their industrial action. Ken Hammond reports.
Mr. Mitchell stressed that safety standards had not been adversely affected by the reduction of numbers in the air traffic control services. The Fianna Fáil spokesman on transport, Mr. John Wilson, appealed to both sides to resolve the dispute. Severe disruption has been caused to the travel plans of several thousands of passengers in recent weeks as a result of lightning strikes by air traffic controllers at the country's three main airports, Dublin, Cork and Shannon. On Wednesday, more than 5,000 passengers were stranded for almost 24 hours, and the controllers have threatened further action if their dispute over manning levels, which they claim are dangerously low, is not resolved.
Syria has told the leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization, Mr. Yasser Arafat, that he must leave the country. Some reports say Mr. Arafat has already flown to Tunis. He'd been in Damascus for talks with PLO leaders. Mr. Arafat's relations with Syria had deteriorated since he accused them of helping rebels who are opposed to him. Part of Belfast city centre in the area around Victoria Street was sealed off for a time this afternoon because of a suspect package. The device was found to be a hoax when examined by British Army bomb disposal experts. Three members of the West German Green Party, including a member of parliament, have left a peace assembly in Prague. That's in protest at the disruption by security police yesterday of a meeting which delegates to the assembly had arranged in a public park. The three people from County Donegal who died after being struck by a car outside Cardonagh early today have been named. They were 65-year-old Philip McKinney of Mallon Head, Margaret Loftus from Cardonagh, who was in her 20s, and 14-year-old Margaret McDade of Ardmellon. Gardaí are questioning the driver of the car involved. Lech Wałęsa, the leader of the Solidarity movement in Poland, has returned home to his department in Gdansk. Yesterday, he met Pope John Paul in a mountain valley in southern Poland. Mr. Wałęsa said today he was more optimistic after seeing the Pope, but added that he was also a realist. Mr. Wałęsa would not reveal any details of the talks. Up to 100 British tourists had their passports and money stolen by two armed men in the Spanish resort of Benidorm. The men raided a hotel in the town centre. The Spanish consul is to help the stranded tourists to get home. In India, two separate bomb explosions in the northern state of Punjab have killed a newspaper employee and damaged offices of the ruling Congress party. Two other people were also injured. So to this evening's financial report. At the end of the working week, the Irish pound is worth 80.45 pence sterling and $1.24.65 cents. On the European markets, the Irish pound is worth 3.1490 Deutschmarks, 9.4675 francs, 179.4 pesetas and 3.5240 guilders. On the London market, spot gold closed this evening at $423.5 per fine ounce and spot silver at £7.96 sterling again per fine ounce. The Financial Times index closed up 1.2 at 726.1. And the Dow Jones index at 5 o'clock this evening was down 4.21 at 1,237.5. The financial report is, as ever, courtesy of Comex Commodity Brokers on 608-977. Radio Nova.
Hello, good evening and welcome. I'm Ken Hammond and this is Dublin Today on Radio Nova, 8:28 a.m. Over on 88 FM, you can hear The Rock Show for alternative radio listening. But here on Dublin Today, between now and 7:30, Jenny McIver talks to Sean McBride about the statement by Defence Minister Mr. Paddy Cooney regarding Ireland's neutrality. Fianna Fáil Councillor Ned Brennan says that doctors, not politicians, should give medical certificates to housing departments so that the kind of controversy presently surrounding Minister Jim Mitchell does not recur. We'll be chatting with a surprise visitor from Norway. There's a full lineup of what's on entertainment-wise this weekend. There's also news of the activities of the Radio Nova racing teams at Mondello. And there's a full lineup of other weekend sporting events. We'll be talking to Labour Councillor Billy Comiskey of the Keep Dublin Tidy Committee, which met today. But first, the Minister for Defence, Mr. Cooney, said yesterday evening that he saw no difference on the question of neutrality between himself and Mr. Haughey, leader of the Fianna Fáil party. Mr. Cooney's statement came after Mr. Haughey had launched an attack on a statement made earlier in the week by the Minister, which said that Irish government policy on neutrality was a matter of expediency rather than of principle. Mr. Haughey said all he could surmise from this statement was that the government under Garrett Fitzgerald had made a startling change on the policy of neutrality. Mr. Cooney denied this, however, and said it suited this country to be militarily neutral, but this policy was a matter of expediency. He said he couldn't see how a principled policy on neutrality could be applied irrespective of the national need. Earlier today, Jenny McIver spoke to Sean McBride by telephone and asked him for his reaction to Mr. Cooney's statement.
Well, I think this is rather a dangerous line to pursue. The policy of neutrality, as far as Ireland is concerned, is a question of principle. Now, it's also a question of practical politics, because we certainly do not want to get involved in any military alliance, and we do not want to get involved in any nuclear war. But there has been, in Ireland for a long time, a very strong feeling that Ireland should be a neutral country, in the same way Sweden is, in the same way as Switzerland is, in the same way as Austria is. We have absolutely no interest in getting involved in any military alliance or in any war that may take place. I have been worried a little bit by the ambivalence of the statements made both by Mr. Cooney and also by the Taoiseach, who, while saying, of course, that they support a policy of neutrality, do give a number of indications that seem to weaken the policy of neutrality.
Would you go so far as to say that it represented a change in policy by the government?
I don't know. Certainly it indicates an ambivalent attitude, so they put it that way. But I doubt if the government would ever admit to change policy in regard to neutrality, because I think that the country is overwhelmingly in favor of neutrality.
Do you think that Mr. Cooney's statement on neutrality being something that's expedient rather than something that should be a principle, do you think that it's coming, that it coincides perhaps too coincidentally with the meeting of the Taoiseach with defence ministers in Stuttgart at the weekend?
Certainly it is open to that construction, because the Taoiseach has made a rather ambivalent statement as to the nature of the declaration that was adopted. He said, among other things, that there had been no agreement to pursue any military operations. And I quote the word operations. Nobody that I know of has suggested that there had been any question of undertaking joint military operations. So the Taoiseach was in effect denying something that hadn't been alleged against his government. Was this in order to avoid dealing more directly with the question of possible joining with the Western European Union?
So you would say that even if it wouldn't go so far as to if Mr. Cooney's statements didn't actually represent a change about in government policy on neutrality, that certainly it seemed to represent a lessening of the government policy on military neutrality.
It does. It indicates an ambivalence in regard to it, an uncertainty. Whereas I think we should be absolutely quite clear and categorical that. No certain instances will we not pursue a policy of neutrality. There was incidentally a very good statement made by Senator Flora O'Mahony of the Labour Party about a week ago, in which she rejected categorically the whole suggestion that we should depart from neutrality. So I think that the Labour Party themselves do not agree with the attitude which Mr. Cooley seems to adopt.
Well, Mr. Haughey, leader of the Fianna Fáil party, has attacked Dr. Fitzgerald and indeed Mr. Cooney for their comments, calling them particularly unfortunate. Do you think that he's overreacting?
No, I don't think he's overreacting. I think it's I think he was quite entitled to do this. I'm very glad he did take this up.
Sean McBride, Nobel Peace Prize winner and exponent of Ireland's neutrality policy. I'm Ken Hammond. It's 3 minutes past seven. Gig Guide is next. On
Radio Nova. I think that should be 13 minutes past seven. And first this evening, the MV Aaron the Floating Restaurant opened last night. It's docked to the North Wall. It will be providing a cabaret each evening until next Tuesday. The restaurant opens at 7:30 each night. Meanwhile, this evening, there's a charity cabaret in aid of St. Joseph's Special School in Tala. It takes place in Malloy's in Tala. It features Carol Lucas and begins at 8:30. Back now to Ken, who's just taken 10 minutes off his life.
Well, just about. You're listening to Dublin Today on 8:28 a.m. The recent alteration of medical certificates for housing applications by Minister for Posts and Telegraphs, Mr. Jim Mitchell, was widely criticised by councillors yesterday at their City Council Housing Committee meeting. The most concerted attack on Mr. Mitchell's activities came, not surprisingly, from Fianna Fáil. Mr. Ned Brennan, the leader of Fianna Fáil in the corporation, said Mr. Mitchell's action had effectively encouraged applicants to jump the queue for houses, and he said it was now the job of the local councillors to show that the system cannot be fiddled. Earlier today, Jenny McIver asked Councillor Brennan by telephone why he felt this incident had brought the local authority housing system into disrepute.
Well, I believe that no public representative should undermine the integrity of any system. And I mean, if you let it go abroad, if you can be manipulated, well, I mean, people lose confidence in that. Mr. Mitchell admitted he authored a medical certificate, and he admitted that. That's not a dispute at all, and the fact of the matter is that it's very serious. It's a very serious thing, anyhow, and for anybody, any public representative. I mean, I don't think any public representative should be involved in that type of operation, anyhow. The public at large, anyhow, have to be reassured that this system is watertight, and that no public representative of any group can manipulate it.
Well, is there any possibility, Mr. Mitchell himself has suggested, that it was a genuine error on his behalf? Do you accept that?
Well, he said it was a genuine error anyhow, but the fact of the matter is, as the report said, if it was a genuine error, he says it was, and I mean, the corporation have accepted it. I'm looking at the it says here, as regards the application, Allocations Branch wrote on the 21st of December to Deputy Mitchell, informing him that the application had been deferred under the scheme. That was to notify him the certificate, you see. But yet Mr. Mitchell didn't call in until the 22nd of February and said he made a mistake. That was 2 months after.
Well, with the situation at the moment, there's such a short supply of houses available for people. What effect do you think that this kind of controversy is going to have on their confidence in local representatives?
Well, I suppose the stature of politicians at the moment, anyhow, with the public at large, is not very high. I must admit that myself. And I would hope that some confidence would be restored in the integrity of the system, anyhow. You'd have to preserve that. I will be looking for now in the future, anyhow, and be asking at the housing meeting, and vice chairman of it, that in future, all medical certificates will be sent direct from the doctor to the housing department and not passed through the politicians.
Leader of the Fianna Fáil group in City Hall, Ned Brennan. Now, just to prove I can actually get the time right, it's 10 seconds away from 17 minutes past 7. I think it's time to take the gig guide. Let me tell you that tomorrow the Meath Hospital Nurses Reunion takes place at the hospital at 5 p.m. All past and present nurses are welcome to attend. Also tomorrow, Gay Pride Week concludes with a protest march from Stephen's Green at 2 p.m. It moves to the GPO where a rally will be held. And at O'Brien's Hotel tomorrow evening, there's an evening of live music from 7:30 p.m. Admission is £2.
On Sunday, Bob Gallico will be in Porter's Restaurant in Dunleary for the first in a series of evenings of classical music while you dine. He'll be on stage, so to speak, from 8:15, and before that you can hear the Supernova Classical Connection from 6 to 8 o'clock.
On Monday, Trapdoor Theatre begin their new summer season with a presentation of W.B. Yeats' play Purgatory. One of the latter plays, it focuses sharply on Yeats' obsession late in life with his powerlessness and reflects the anger that is evident in his later poems. It's a lunchtime presentation at 1:05 daily in Players Theatre No. 3, TCD.
On the gig scene, Freddie White won't in fact be in the meeting place this evening. Instead, there's Honor Heffernan, the superb singer, featured in Angel, of course. She's on stage with friends from 8 o'clock. Admission is £3. And Long John's Jump Band are in the Lawrence Hotel in Hoth tonight. They begin at 9 o'clock. Admission, £1.50.
Also this evening, the Blades are in the Belvedere Hotel from 9 p.m. And tomorrow sees the final gig at the Magnet from 9 out of 10 cats. They're moving on to London, where apparently they're tipped to do very well.
Looking ahead to next weekend, the Getaway one-day open-air festival takes place at the Sure Jumping Arena in the RDS on the 2nd of July. It features Christa Berg, Peter Frampton and Janet Ian, a phenomenally popular artist in this country. Sven Mortensen is a Lutheran church minister in Norway. At the moment, he's on a fact-finding trip to Ireland and England. Fact-finding in relation to radio, I should say. Sven, first of all, may I welcome you to Radio Nova and ask you then, does independent radio exist in Norway?
No, there is no independent radio in Norway as such, and there is only the state radio, the Norwegian Broadcasting Corporation, or the NRK, which runs two networks, and we also have the community radio, non-commercial that is, and they are now being set up on a trial basis in the main cities, in Oslo, in Stavanger, in Bergen, and so on. I'm afraid that are not very impressive radio stations. There are more or less radio studios linked to the same transmitter. So in Stavanger you would have Cidis Radio and Radio West and so on. But I think the important thing about this is that it will pave the way, so to speak, for private or independent radio. And I think that it might be a good idea for the church to be prepared for this, and that's why I'm here.
Obviously, our format is very different to the type of radio that's been presented in Norway. So
yes.
What are your impressions of Radio Nova?
Well, I'm most impressed, really. It's functional, it's simple, but it gives a very good output, a very modern and fast-moving format, so to speak. I think that many of the ideas in use here would be appropriate for us, too, with certain modifications.
Now, you have, in fact, been able to pick up Radio Nova in Norway on
yes.
medium wave. When did you first hear Radio Nova?
That was on the 12th of October, 1981, and I heard John Clark.
And the record?
And the streets of New York, the Wolf Tones.
It goes back a long way. I
yes.
hope you enjoy the rest
yes.
of your trip. The music tonight, Steely Dan, appropriately enough, a radio song, FM.
Dan and a track called FM, and our thanks to Sven Mortensen for coming in and chatting with us. This is Dublin Today. It's 22 minutes past 7. A meeting of the Dublin Keep Dublin Tidy Committee took place this afternoon in City Hall. Issues raised included the effectiveness of the Litter Act 1982, the continuing problem of illegal bill posting around the city, the question of attendance, or rather participation by councillors at meetings, an item which incidentally caused a heated debate, and a discussion on whether a recent delegation from CIE to help keep Dublin uncluttered had in fact brought results. Councillors generally agreed that the Litter Act introduced last year had worked to a satisfactory extent, one reason being that it was a Doyle Act, not a bylaw. The main problem was to ensure its enforcement more comprehensively. A letter from the Irish Housewives Association called for more cleaning by shop owners in front of their premises, as many, it said, assumed this was the responsibility of the corporation. Antashka's review said it would like to see more assistance forthcoming from such bodies as CIE, the IRFU, the GAA and the Taxi Drivers Association in keeping Dublin a tidy city. Well, after the meeting, Jenny McIver asked Labour Councillor Billy Kamaksky, who was attended, what would he consider the biggest hurdle for the committee in their efforts to keep Dublin clean and litter-free.
I think it's an educational problem. I think basically what we have to do is make people conscious of the fact that what they are doing in habits that have grown up over a number of years, just throw litter on the ground and everything else, is something that creates the problem, because others see them doing it and they're inclined to drop litter all over the place. Dublin Corporation have provided a number of bins around the place and lampposts and everything else, and those are fine now. While many people say that they're too small and that they're filling up too easy and everything else, but this makes it known that it is being successful to a certain degree. But once again, it's not the city it's dirty, it's some of the people who have very, very bad habits. Let me say that, and instead of using some other word, they have very bad habits, and until we can change the habits of our people and make them conscious of the fact what it is to have a very clean, nice, well-kept city, we will certainly have to keep working at this. But someday, I hope, as I've said at this meeting, that this meeting will become redundant, because the people will be so conscious of throwing litter on the ground that they certainly won't do it. And we will not have to take them to court and have them fined or anything else.
There was certain criticism levelled tonight by a delegate from Antashka about the level of attendance at these meetings. Do you think that was unfair criticism?
Well, I think that the person from Antashka accepted the explanation that was given by the councillors that were here. I myself, if you look the records back, have always been here and sat here. And most of the councillors come in, they're interested, they have some type of input, or they take away from it, and they will make note at other committees. You see, you've got to know the composition of the corporation. There are five other committees dealing with all aspects of life within the city. And they may feel like becoming here, they pick up points that they will raise at their other meetings and bring pressure to bear to have them solved.
But would you agree with her that the system whereby councillors are paid for meeting attendances rather than for being councillors is a valid one?
Well, there's two schools of thought on this, and one is very reluctant to say, but in this day and age, I became a councillor way back in 1960, I think it was 67, and I attended every meeting and there was no payment for anything whatsoever. And we had very good committees, and we had, and I'm sure it's not the attendance money. The attendance money is only for people who have to put in a certain number of hours, and it's for inconvenience and a lot of expenses that councillors have. But it's hard to say whether they should be paid or not, because having paid councillors to the extent you're putting yourself on the level of as much as members of Dáil Éireann, and I feel that what we have to do is change the whole structure of local government, reform the whole thing so that we can bring it down to where we can have it at a level where the ordinary person living in the community can elect people onto a layer at that level, and then from that onto a higher level, so that we would feel that there's no sense in having us. I think we're becoming so far removed from the people that we represent in many cases.
Labour Councillor Billy Kamaksky of Keep Dublin Tidy. And may I mention that anyone who has an old abandoned car which they need to remove from their premises, or indeed if there are any abandoned cars lying around your area, you can have them towed away free of charge by the corporation's community and environmental department. Telephone 713022. This is Dublin Today. It's 27 minutes past 7. Now over to the capable Robert Reid for Sports Roundup.
Hello and welcome to Sports Roundup with Robert Reid. Starting with Gaelic games, and the big match this weekend is Sunday's Leinster Senior Football semi-final meeting of All-Ireland champions Offaly and Kildare. And even without five of last year's All-Ireland winning side, Offaly should advance quite easily. Star player and team captain Matt Connor is fit to play. He damaged a hamstring last weekend in Offaly's 22 points challenge win over Sligo, but was given the all clear this afternoon. Offaly will be bidding for a sixth successive Leinster final showdown. Kildare were none too impressive against Longford last time out and have made five changes from that side. Changes or no changes, Navan's Park Tolton is hardly likely to witness the defeat of Offaly. In Connacht, Galway and Leitrim play in the senior football semi-final at Carrick on Shannon. In Munster, Kerry play Tipperary in the senior football semi-final, while in hurling, Cork and Limerick replay their semi-final at Parky Cove. Up north, Donegal play Monaghan in the Ulster Senior Football Championship. Martin McHugh, after retiring injured in the game with Armagh, will play. His replacement on that occasion, Fintan Lynch, retains his place. Monaghan's team selection will not be made until later tonight. And at Tralee, Kerry play London in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling B final. Golf, and after day two of the Glasgow Classic at Hag's Head, Ireland's Christy O'Connor Jr. shares the lead with Germany's Bernard Langer, having completed today's 18 holes and 66 shots for a 4-under par total of 136. Scotland's Ewan Murray is one stroke behind the joint leaders, while Ronan Rafferty had a 73 today. He lies on 141 after two rounds. John O'Leary had a 76 for a 147 total. Ireland's ladies have qualified for the semi-final of the Women's European Team Championship at Royal Waterloo, Brussels, and Ireland's men have reached the semi-final of the European Amateur Team Championship at Chantilly. Cycling, and Sean Kelly recorded his first ever National Cycling Tour victory when he finished fourth in today's final stage of the Tour of Switzerland. The opening stage of the Derry Ross Tolton commences tomorrow. The event continues through till Sunday week, finishing with 12 laps of the 2-mile Phoenix Park circuit. Well, motor racing fans will be pleased to know that this weekend is going to prove a spectacular one for motor racing. One team on the grid this weekend is the Liam Brady Radio Nova Racing Team. Well, this morning, Shane McGowan spoke to Vernon Demange, team manager, and asked him what he had in store for us this weekend.
It's a speed weekend for the Liam Brady Radio Nova Race Team. We go to Kirkstown in Northern Ireland for a race. This is run by the 500 Club up there, but we still have supporters to follow us. It'll feature Volkswagen single-seaters, Volkswagen-based single-seater cars. But the big day for us then is the return straight to Mondello for Sunday morning. It's a bit of a hassle, actually, to get everything organised and get back down into Mondello Park. But Mondello Park is the Kildare Motor Club's championship races. And that'll feature the usual saloons, single-seaters, Formula Ford, Formula 2000. Atlantic, unfortunately, won't be out. We've got some problems. But they will have a special race on that day, and that is a rally car race. It's the first time it's ever been done in Mondello. And it's a chance to see rally cars dicing with each other on a racing circuit. So these are pretty powerful, very colourful cars, but they are rally cars with top Irish rally drivers actually dicing on the track. It's not their usual form of motorsport.
Vernon Demange will be providing some hair-raising moments at Mondello Park this weekend. Tennis, and Chris Everett Lloyd's dreams of a fourth Wimbledon singles title on the Grand Slam ended sensationally at Wimbledon today. She crashed in straight sets to Katie Jordan, only ranked 13th in the United States. Rugby, and tomorrow at Wangaree, the Lions play North Auckland. Lester Pickett rides Tinoso in tomorrow's Irish Sweeps Derby at the Curra. He'll be hard-pressed, however, by the Vincent O'Brien-trained horses Lomond and Salmon Leap, while Carlingford Castle is not to be discounted. Keeping with racing on air, Saturday special runs into 250 at Newcastle, number 5, Mountain Lodge. Soccer, Howard Wilkinson has been appointed new manager of second division side Sheffield Wednesday. The League of Ireland this weekend holds its AGM in Dublin, but it's unlikely that any of the four clubs applying for league membership will be elected. Motorcycling, and Sunday sees the eighth round of the 500cc Motorcycle Championship in Assen, Holland. Finally, cricket, and tomorrow's league games feature Malahide and Clontarf at Malahide. Merion play the Hills at Anglesey Road, Old Belvedere play Phoenix at Cabra, and Pembroke and YMCA meet at Sydney Parade. All games start at 2 o'clock, and on Sunday, CYM play Carlisle at Terenure. That's Nova Sport, compiled and presented by Robert Reid.
Thank you very much indeed, Robert. Now, before we leave you, back to the news desk for the closing news headlines with Sybil.
The Labour leader, Mr. Spring, has called for the introduction of a law which would provide for divorce. He said the Labour Party would recommend that the present constitutional ban on divorce be removed. In England, three people were killed and more than 20 others injured in a motorway accident this afternoon. The Israeli Prime Minister, Mr. Menachem Begin, has appealed to doctors on hunger strike to end their fast for tomorrow's Sabbath. The doctors say they plan to ignore this plea unless their demands for a pay rise are met. The American space shuttle Challenger ended a week-long mission this afternoon when it returned safely to Earth in California. In western India, more than 300 people are either dead or missing after a series of floods. The death toll is expected to rise. In the Dáil this afternoon, the Minister for Transport emphasized that the government was ready to take whatever action was necessary to maintain air services if the air traffic controllers continued with their industrial action. And Syria has told the leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization, Mr. Yasser Arafat, that he must leave the country. The weather forecast, close, overcast and dry. The current city high, 15 degrees, the winds light and variable.
Thank you, Sybil. That's where we must leave you for this evening and, in fact, for this week. My thanks to producer Linda Conway and Frank Wynne, who looked after us on sound. From Sybil, myself, Ken Hammond, and the rest of the Dublin Today team, until Monday, a very good evening to you.
Make it to Maxine's this Friday night. Exciting music, friendly people, and great atmosphere. Friday night comes but once a week, so go where the action is. Maxine's, Dublin's number one nightclub. Maxine's, where all the elegant people go.
Bitumen boilers, Kango hammers, electric threaders, carpet shampooers, industrial heaters, stocks and dies, chainsaws, jigsaws, trolley jacks. Sam's got it all, have no fear. Sam's the place for hiring gear. Sanders, grinders, power floats, welders, benders, Hilti guns, ladders, skill saws, air compressors, generators, rotavators, tier 4 winches. Sam's got it all, have no fear. Sam's the place for hiring gear.
Sam Hire Limited at the Red Cow on the main Nace Road. Telephone.